Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Everybody, hey, this is it with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're doing Sunday special shows, audio only. We're usually on Facebook Live during the week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Again, that's 515-602-9731. We appreciate everybody listening along. We're also on YouTube. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. You can check that out at Redneck and Eyes, is the name of the YouTube channel. Search that out. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And, you know, go ahead and appreciate subscribe to that. We really do appreciate everybody doing that. It's been helping us out a lot. We've been growing and getting noticed, and that's really special for us to do that. We're out here getting the information out to truck drivers as best we can. You know, we're trying to create this this mentality of the brotherhood of trucking that was once, you know, a great thing in the trucking industry, and now it's just sort of lost. So we're just hoping that that comes along and happens and does great things. So be sure to go check that out. Like I said, YouTube, go subscribe to YouTube channel. Our website, redneckandeyes.com. You know what? This thing is pissing me off because it's not. There we go. There we go. So, yeah, got to fix all my audio issues here. We've been making some changes. Like I said, we're here every weekday. That's what we've been doing. We've been doing a weeknight show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We've been every weeknight, 7 p.m. Also, we have a special show on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. That is the Women of Redneck and Eyes. And so that has been a great thing. And we really do appreciate everybody tuning in for that. And we appreciate all the information we've been getting. It's been a great success for us. We're really happy with it and everything. So be sure to check that out. Like I said, that's on the same channel. It's 515-602-9731. We also do a Facebook Live event on that. So if tune into Facebook, we're trying to get over to YouTube where we're doing more things on YouTube. Like I said, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. One of the great sponsors we want to make sure we mention, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. LTRtransportation.com is where they're at. They are special people. We appreciate all of their support that they've been helping out with us. And let's see. I was going to try to pull their phone number up for you, and it shouldn't be but a little slight hand here. and we'll get that pulled up. But yeah, that, so like we've got a couple of people that we constantly contact, drivers that are, that work for LTR, load to ride transportation. And they're like, they say they're always busy. You know, they're running 3,000, 3,500 miles a week, easy. Sometimes up to four, depending on, you know, what all they got going on, like the trips and everything. So, but it's one of those mid-size carriers. And in my opinion, they do a lot more interacting with the customers. So if you're working for one of those big carriers and you want to learn more about the industry, maybe even to buy your own truck, to become an owner operator or get your own authority or whatever, you know, those big carriers, they pretty much do everything. They don't want you talking to the customers, like make, arranging appointments and all that kind of stuff. And at LTR, it's more of a, you're interacting and they're relying on your detailed information about how you can get there. It's like, what time can you be delivering the appointment? What does the driver have to say? Get the driver's input, how you load the freight, all that kind of stuff. So LTR, they're more of a hands-on carrier. And like I said, you can give them a call at 720-277-0030, or you can check them out, like I said, ltrtransportation.com. And when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. So like I said, we're here talking about trucking news, talking about things like that and everything. So there was an article that I read on this week's, one of this week's shows about the big fleets. They're selling off their trucks. And it's like, so right now, because we're in, you know, 2022, where the economy is not doing that good, but there's a shortage on everything because, you know, the pandemic shut everything down for at least 18 months. So they weren't building any new trucks or anything like that. So they were making a lot of money because the price of this used equipment got so high. The big carriers said, you know what, we'll just sell that off and we'll make our money, you know, that if we're not making money. And what happens is they're actually making money. The bottom line looks really good because they're actually making a very good chunk of change off of selling their used equipment. And, you know, they're like, well, we're at a driver shortage. We need drivers. Well, we got trucks sitting. We can't find any drivers that we can hire. So why don't we just sell those trucks and make some money? And that's what they're doing. And it's actually making things look good. And you know, like I said, their bottom line is better. And then what happens is that if they're on the stock market, well, when the bottom line looks good, people invest in the stock. So next thing you know, their stock price is up and everybody's happy, except for who? The people buying the trucks, obviously. And they say most of the people buying the trucks are these smaller carriers that need trucks because they're getting the freight and they're getting the drivers. And so I think of it as one of those things where you look at who's taking care of the drivers. Looks like the smaller carriers are taking care of the drivers. I'm not saying they're small carriers. You know, the ones that have got like, you know, 30, 40, 100 trucks, those are the ones that are taking care of drivers pretty good. And these big mega carriers, I mean, it's funny, you're talking about, they say driver shortage. But then they say that most people that complain about a driver shortage really are the big carriers. Well, the big carriers only make up like what did they say, like 13% of all the trucks on the road out there are owned by the mega carriers, which have like, I think it's either 500 or 1,000 trucks or more. You know, those carriers are the ones that are claiming that there's a driver shortage. I've talked to other small carrier owners, people that have like, you know, 10, 15 trucks. And yeah, they have a hard time finding drivers, but they don't overexert themselves. See, they don't go out there and book freight that they can't handle, you know, and then they'll hire a driver and they take care of that driver. And, you know, rest is history. As long as what that driver is looking for is what that carrier is offering. And that's the other thing you got to look at. We were talking about drivers just not having, you know, like they're, we're talking about self-driving trucks and how self-driving trucks is really not going to take everybody's job because you're still going to need local deliveries. You're still going to need regional deliveries. You're still going to need like, you know, emergency expedited and all that stuff. And those automated trucks can't handle that. So, but you need to live in an area where that's needed. So if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you want a local job, that's not going to happen. So you got to be willing to go. But if you work for a carrier, maybe that you live somewhere where there's a small carrier that has a good contract with a local area, you know, then you got something going, you know. And like I said, you just got to stay in the know of what's going on. But like I said, it's kind of like you always, if you're working, it doesn't matter who you're working for, as a truck driver, you got to keep your ear to the ground. Because unless you're some type of union where you're going to get paid whether you work or not, you got to watch out. for, you know, like what happens if they lose the contract of that carrier that's their bread and butter. Like in another news that just got released on Friday, a carrier that had been around for 67 years out of Missouri files for bankruptcy because they got their contracts cut. It says after the post office, the U.S. Postal Service, cuts back on mail hauling contracts. So here is a carrier, says a Missouri-based trucking company, which contracted with the U.S. Postal Service to haul mail, recently ceased operations and filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Family-owned Rooney Trucking, headquartered in Polo, filed its petition in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Western District of Missouri on Monday. Attorney Ryan Blay told Freightwaves that fuel and labor expenses were certainly issues that affected Rooney Trucking. The bigger issue, though, was the decision by the U.S. Postal Service to take away some routes and cancel certain contracts, Blay said. The business couldn't function profitably with a restricted income stream. This was the biggest factor in deciding to declare bankruptcy for the company. And seeing that's what it is. So if you're out there somewhere living, you got, like I say, you got a great place, you're living somewhere, you're working for a carrier that's based out of where you're living, you got a contract with a customer that's maybe headquartered in where you're living, or they've got a facility where you're living, man, make sure, keep your ear to the ground, make sure you know that everything is working all right for that. Because something happens and they start cutting back, and the next thing you know, you might not be out of a job, but you know, your pay might drop significantly, and things like that happen in trucking industry all the time. Like I said, unless you work for a union where you're guaranteed you're going to make money whether you work or not, you know, and there's very few of that going around these days, even in the union. It's like, even in the union, you still got to work to make that money. So yeah, it's one of those things. You just never know what's going to happen out there. And that's kind of what we do out here on Redneck and I's, is we just kind of try to keep people apprised, you know, stay vigilant and always stay up to date on what's going on out there in your community, especially as far as business goes. And don't forget to always check out to make sure that there's not something better on the horizon, because, you know, it's one of those things. Something may fall through on what you've got going. So you might need to be looking. Always be looking. And stay up to date, like on who's hiring, who's not hiring, you know, all that stuff. So that's how we're doing it. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And we're trucking here. Like I said, we're here. We're doing a Sunday show. This is a good 2-hour show. We're going to, you know, we slow it down. We kind of just talk about things. We don't really try to speed through a lot of stuff. We do an hour show every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in. Same number always, 515-602-9731. And like I said, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate us doing that for us. And we'll just keep trucking along here. Take a little break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we do a Sunday special also, a two-hour radio show on Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on that one as well. Same number, 515-602-9731. We appreciate everybody doing that. We're hoping to keep everything going, but we're trying to probably switch over to doing something every day, every weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You call in. It's a radio show. We talk about trucking news for about an hour, if whatever, however long it goes, no big deal. However we can get it done. It happens right before I go to work. So I got a truck driving job. I do like everybody else, and just want to knock it out and get as much content out there to everybody and what's going on. And so we have to do that, and we're going to put it on YouTube when we get done recording it. We also are here live, like I said, on Blog Talk Radio / Redneck and Eyes. You can check that out. That's where all of our recordings are audio-wise. And then, of course, we do a Facebook Live, too, to get people to chime in on that and everything. But really, it's calling in. It's a radio show, 515-602-9731. That's where we want everybody. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And don't forget to thank one of our sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And there is a phone number, and I'll have that pulled up real quick because I'm ready this time. And right there, that's dpfregeneration.com. They do all of the, like, services on your particulate filters. You can buy them there. You can get them serviced and clean there where you send them to them, and then they send them right back. And it's real quick turnaround, all that. They're Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010. And when you talk to them, make sure you tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. Because what we're doing here, we've been doing this thing here for a while with the, Redneck and Eyes supporting the truck drivers, creating a good brotherhood of trucking mentality to try to help truckers do better. And DPF Regeneration has been all about that. They love it. And they've been our supporters since 2014. We've only been around since 2012. So it's one of those things where they said, you know what, I like you guys. And they saw us and just fell in love with us. And we fell in love with them because they're so supportive. And, they're doing everything. They're getting into parts, too. If you need to get some parts for your truck, they do that, too, where they're getting into, like, turbos and charge air coolers and all kind of different, like, the EGR coolers and all that stuff. Of course, repairing them and servicing them, and, of course, getting the parts and everything you need for them. They got filters, special filters, and they do all the different stuff. They're even, like, so what DPF Regeneration, what they really do, I mean, as far as, like, drivers, yeah, you can call them, you can talk to them. But you know who else talks to them a lot? The shops. The shops that you go to get your trucks worked on, they have to call people to get their parts or their services and all that. And, these trucks, maintenance diesel mechanics, they say they can clean filters, right? You ever been there? You ever seen one of those places where they've cleaned these filters? It's nasty, right? So what DPF Regeneration does is their stuff's clean. Now, if those people call them and say, hey, we need your help, we've got our own filters here or our own cleaning system, we need your help, they'll say, well, we'll check your stuff out and we can clean your stuff, or you can buy some they even got that stuff too. So it's like the shops call them. So if you need any help and you're kind of the kind of person who likes to work on your own equipment and you've got the newer equipment, well, that's who you call right there. You go, don't even try to go through the middleman. Cut out the middleman. Go straight to the people that know how to deal with it, and that's DPF Regeneration. So those guys are pretty awesome over there. So, like I said, we're all about here trying to get out the news and information to people all over the place to see what's going on in the world and what people are talking about in the trucking industry. And what I always like is I like it when the big main websites or news channels or whatever covers trucking issues, because that way you know they're paying attention. And that's kind of a big deal for me. So when I see like an article on FoxNews.com or CNN.com or whatever, this one here is this Politico.com. Of course, I follow the politics pretty closely. And these guys are always mentioned in releasing like political news about, the politicians or candidates or, the DOD or the whatever they call them, the EPA or, whatever. So So this one here, they've got it classified as a transportation article, and it got published Saturday. It says here, Alex Daughtry and Mona Zhang. I don't know those people, but they wrote the article. And here's the title of the article. You ready? Pay attention now. Cannabis confusion. Thousands of truckers taken off the job amid supply chain woes. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. So I'm thinking, well, cannabis, that's marijuana. So we're talking about trucking and marijuana. Okay, that's going to open up a lot of can of worms. Let's dive into it. What are we talking about? The first quote right below the headline is drivers who are off duty or even on vacation for a week can't even enjoy marijuana in a legal state. One Alabama trucking company complained to DOT. So right then and there, boom, out of the gate, a trucking company has complained to DOT that they have drivers that, you know, claim they are able to, they should be able to enjoy it, but they're truck drivers. Now, everybody's talking about trucker shortage. So what I would say, if I was a carrier looking for drivers and I see people out there, they look the part, they take the test, you know, they can drive, they can do things, and then they just pop negative on a drug test where they have consumed marijuana. I don't know how long it goes back. That's the thing is that these tests are unknown. So then it's like, well, what did you do? And they're like, no, I don't smoke. I don't know, do that or whatever. Well, here it is. It's like, it's even all of these other things like these hemp derivatives, such as CBD oil. They advertise that there's a non-psychedelic in the, in their ointment or pills or anything you take, you know, all that pops. It still pops depending on the test, depending on the tester. All that stuff can still pop. All of these trucking companies are telling their existing drivers that stuff can still affect your test. And a lot of people say, no, that's not right. That's not. I just don't think that nobody knows for sure, right? So the article started off, it says the Biden administration is vowing to put more commercial truck drivers on the road to help ease the supply chain snarls plaguing the economy. But one obstacle of the government's own making is hampering that goal. A federal ban on marijuana use that has sidelined tens of thousands of truckers. Now, what we know is from that get-go that when they first started legalizing marijuana in like California and Colorado and all that, a lot of drivers got busted because they were like, well, I thought it was legal. And of course it's still not for truck drivers. So they got put on a list. And what it is there's once you pop on that drug test, you get put on a list. That way, when you go to another carrier and they run your name through the little database, it pops up saying you got tested negative on a drug test, and that you're not going to find another trucking job as long as that's still on the list. They're trying to do is they're trying to clear that list, like make it a where it's going to fall off or I thought it was like something where nobody like you got to be able. What it is a lot of drivers, what they do is they go to different offices and different doctors and everything to get taken off the list. And they say that they're not going to do that anymore, or they something to the effect where it was going to affect people and it was not good for the drivers. It says here, it says Washington's zero tolerance approach to weed has swept up drivers who lit up only when off duty, as well as those who consume hemp derivatives such as CBD oil that are advertised as non-psychedelic, according to the industry experts and court documents. Truckers who drive cross-country also face a morass of confusing state regulations, as 18 states have legalized recreational marijuana use and another 37 allow it for medical use. Another complication, the only accepted roadside tests for marijuana use can produce positive results more than a month after the person smoked or consumed it. See, there you go. Unlike commonly used breathalyzer tests for alcohol impairment, which give a snapshot of the moment of the test was conducted. Now, see, that's another thing, too, is I think we were having a debate about that, where if they pop marijuana use on a test, I don't think they don't have any way of knowing whether or not you consumed that marijuana an hour ago or a month ago. There's no way for them to know. Like, there's no level. Maybe there is, and they're just not looking. But that's, I guess that's the claim. You know, and drinking, once, it, you know, you take a drink, it's going to affect you. And then as the time goes on, it's not going to be as irrelevant, right? That's how it's going to work out. And they can tell. And, of course, it leaves your body really quickly. I mean, we're talking about within 12 hours. In fact, that's the rule for most commercial vehicles. I think what we saw, I remember, according when I took when I was in a class learning about all this, you know, they talk about what's the difference in the state. Now, the federal DOT is, what is it, four? I don't know. We're going to have probably some other people come on here and make and clarify the laws. But it's like you can't consume alcohol up to 4 hours before coming on duty. And you can't, of course, if you blow on a breathalyzer, the federal law is you can't blow more than a .04. Now, we know most states, a legal limit for driving a car is .08. But in big trucks, it's .04. Now, here's where it gets sketchy. The carrier has a company policy that says if you get stopped and you blow into the breathalyzer and it comes up to a .001, you're fired. That's what the carrier says for drinking. So they have a big zero tolerance. Most drivers, I think we all can say this. I mean, you know, every weekend knocking back a six pack or whatever. No, not me. You know, I mean, it's like go to dinner. I won't be going to work for another 2 days. Then I might, you know, enjoy stuff, you know, great. But, like on a weekend or when I go home, like I'm home every day, drink? No, not me. You know, it's just not what I'm interested in. So most truck drivers will tell you they don't drink hardly at all. If they drink anything, you know, and I know there's a lot of guys that, oh man, it ain't no big deal. You just got to know how to know. I mean, there's a lot that don't, they just don't. It's not something they think about. But in the drinking, you know, it's pretty standard. And of course, I think the company policies, a lot of times they'll say 12 hours, like the DOT says 4 hours. Company policies, a lot of them are like 12 hours instead of just four. So, cause it's, they have a zero tolerance. So they tell you, if you blow in a breathalyzer while you're on duty driving our trucks or driving under our authority, and you blow into that breathalyzer and it comes up at anything other than a .000, then you're fired, or you know you won't drive for them no more. Whether you're an owner operator or what, whatever their policy is, whatever the policy they set. So understand, just whoever you are, whatever you go do, just understand whoever's authority you're driving under, that's who sets that policy. Now, if you got your own authority, of course, the only policy you got to worry about is the federal law. So that's easy, right? And then now what we're looking at is we're looking at marijuana use, because it's getting more and more where it's everywhere. You know, I mean, I was at a wedding in Colorado, and you can go into these little dispensaries where they sell all these products that contain, you know, all the different, you know, levels of whatever you looking for to get that sensation. And I mean, it's not only just smoking. I mean, it's eating it. It's, you know, they've got shampoo, they've got ointments, they've got creams, they've got drinks, you know, they've got, like I said, food, candies, you know, chips, whatever that's got that in it. And it's just common now that's kind of the good feeling you get. You know, it's kind of like, to me, it's getting more and more like sugar. Like the more sugar you put in something, you know, you feel it. If you don't eat a lot of sugar, and then you have sugar, you feel it. You know, we get sugar every day. A lot of us get sugar every day. I know back in the day, I used to get sugar every day. I still crave it. I crave it all the time. And I think that's what marijuana is coming to be, is a sugar thing where everybody, it just, you get it every day. A lot of people get it every day. And they say that it's kind of like smoking. It gives you a little calm feeling. You know, that nicotine is like a, you know, it kind of levels you out, especially if you're used to it. You know, if you get that feeling of always having it, you know, and all that, but because it's more and more common now, and that's the way people are feeling. Well, in my opinion, what's going to happen is we're losing drivers and we're not able to hire new drivers because, you know, you got a young kid doing all right. He ain't hurting for anything. He just wants a good job, and he has a good job. He just wants a better job, or he likes truck driving. He might want to get into truck driving. They say, well, you gotta be able to pass a drug test. And he's like, well, wait a minute now. Every time I have a weekend, like a long weekend or something, you know, and we have a family get together, we all might pass it around, or you know, we all might enjoy some brownies or something, you know. And you got to stop doing that for like maybe 2 or 3 months before you could pass a drug test. And a lot of people say that's just hard. That's just, you know, I've always, you know, and it's kind of like, what are we doing? What are we talking about? Are they drug addicts? I mean, isn't somebody that can't live without pizza, are they a drug addict? Somebody that can't live without coffee, are they a drug addict? I mean, you know, isn't that something we should ask is how bad is it? So that's what it is, you know. It says here, Nevada Trucking Association, Paul Enos, he says, a state where recreational marijuana use is legal said tests that capture weeks-old use force people out of the industry who are not necessarily a danger on the roads. This is an issue for our industry when we look at a number of people who are no longer driving. He said that removing drug-using drivers from the roads can help prevent impaired driving. Still, we would all benefit from having a reasonable impairment test that is not going to cause our highways to be less safe. And that's what it is. We see it all the time. I see it in the trucking industry. I don't know about anybody else, but I see drivers all the time. They sneak a little toke, you know, they got a little bottle or a flask, you know, somewhere hidden around where they're, you know, I mean, people are cheating the system wherever they can do it. So who's impaired, who's not? And I mean, you know, so I don't know what to tell you on that. I think there's a lot of drivers out there that probably would do it on their time off only. And then, you know, when they come back to work, they probably won't touch it until they take another long weekend or something, you know. But just, I don't know, punishing somebody because they did it once and then they have to take a test, you know, a month and a half later, and then boom, it comes back on them. You know, that's unfair. It says, all this comes as President Joe Biden and his appointees, including Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, are trying to bring more truckers into the workforce, for example, by expanding apprenticeship programs that make it easier to obtain a commercial driver's license and promoting opportunities for women and veterans to enter the field. Their aim is to get goods out of the ports and warehouses faster, lessening the supply chain crunch that has contributed to inflation and shortages of certain goods. Okay, I was just blowing smoke there. But yeah, that's pretty much the article goes down. It says federal rules have long prohibited cannabis use by people with commercial driver's license, even in states where it is legal. License holders who test positive for cannabis or any prohibited drug can't drive again until they finish an evaluation process that can take months or longer. And that's what it is. A lot of drivers just aren't doing that. They're not taking that because it's, you know, it's just one of them things where they're like, you know what? Screw it. It says, of 126,043 drug violations by commercial truck drivers reported between January 2020 and this March, 56% of them were for marijuana, according to the DOT drug testing cleaning house that went live 2 years ago. It all resulted in the driver being taken off the road temporarily. Many simply don't come back. Only a quarter of the 119,000 drivers with at least one drug violation since January 2020 have completed the process to return to the road. Of the nearly 90,000 drivers now prohibited from driving, more than 67,000 have not started to return to duty process. Many have left the profession. There you go. And that's, to me, that's the biggest deal, is you're creating all these obstacles, and a lot of people are just saying, you know what, screw it. You know, screw it. Especially when, you know, if the government keeps passing out all this free money and everything and forgiving student loans and all that stuff, shoot, you know, screw it. But I don't know. What do you think? Call, give me a holler. It's 515-602-9731. I've been talking about this before. there are so many jobs that are considered by many to be very important jobs to have, and there's no federal law demanding that they be drug tested like truck drivers. Doctors and teachers, okay? You think, well, teachers have to be drug tested. Doctors, they might have to be by the state they work in or by the hospital or school they work for. But there is no federal law that requires doctors and teachers to be tested. The other one is lawyers. I mean, you know, government workers. Oh, man, don't get me started on government workers. You know, that's one of the things you see when you watch TV all the time. If you watch any kind of TV that has any kind of politicians and they want to show what's going on in real life, you know, they always have them doing the heavy drugs and stuff. And then you see them all the time getting arrested for, you know, DUIs and all that stuff like that. There's no law requiring them to be drug tested. You know, and they control your life as you know, as a politician, as a legislature. You know, there's no federal law that says cops have to be drug tested. Of course, there are state laws, but there's no federal law. You know, I'm okay with a company saying we don't tolerate it. I'm okay with a single state saying we don't tolerate it. But I think it's time that the federal government just say, you know what, let's let the states handle it. Let's let the carriers handle it. And we just need even more hands off, because just like it says here, okay, if you got a bad economy or a bad industry where you're trying to hire people and you can't because they keep failing the drug tests, you know, maybe you got to think about something. You know, maybe you got to think about something. So that's all I got to say about that. Like I said, just give me a holler and see what you think. Like I said, this is 515-602-9731. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And you can get those links to that at our website, redneckandeyes.com. And like I said, we're here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And then we're live every weekday. What we're shooting for is going every weekday. Every weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We've got a special broadcast on Wednesdays. That's the Women of Redneck and Eyes. Same time, same call-in number, 515-602-9731. And like I said, you can give people a holler there to talk about that. Like I said, one of the great sponsors I like to mention, of course, and that's DPF Regeneration. Don't forget to go check them out, dpfregeneration.com. You can give them a holler at 800-634-3010. And when you holler at them, just make sure you tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So just hang tight here. We're going to get things rolling and keep on talking about trucking and all things of trucking and then some. So it's Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Radio. We're here live here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call at 515-602-9731. And you can listen along or be part of the conversation. You just hit one. And we're talking about everybody out there enjoying the effects of cannabis or that kind of stuff. And then, you know, doing a job, right? Being able to do a job and still go home on the time off and enjoy those things. Well, truck drivers can't do that because there's a random drug test, a pre-screening drug test. You got to get drug tested. So are there industries affected by stuff like that? Do they have to get tested? And then even if they do get tested, you know, is there a random test or does stuff still like this go on? Even though there's testing being done, it can still happen. You know, people still going to be out there. So there's an article here. And that's where we're looking at. This is happened at. This says trooper charged with DUI while driving state police vehicle. And let's see here. This says state police trooper, a state police trooper that DUI difference of efforts is facing charges of driving under the influence after he was accused of striking a parked vehicle with his state-issued SUV outside of North Stabron Fire Station in September. It says Jeffrey Allen Tini, who is assigned to the police, to the State Police Bureau of Criminal Investigations, has scheduled to appear Friday afternoon for his preliminary hearing before Senior District Judge Larry Hopkins, but the proceeding was postponed for the third time. Yeah, see, and this is all kind of the crap. Don't get me started on that. 39 years old, state trooper of North Stabron is accused of having level three times the legal limit to drive a vehicle when he allegedly hit a firefighter's personal pickup truck in the parking lot of the North Stabron Fire Station number 3 at 430 Johnson Road shortly before midnight on September 30th, according to the court documents. This was put out Saturday. And this was set back in September. And like you said, the hearing got postponed for the third time. And I mean, this is now, we're just now getting around to it and he's still nothing. Okay. This is the other crap that gets me fired up. How it takes so long. A firefighter who was inside the station at the time told North Stabron police he heard a thumping sound outside of the building. When the firefighter came out, he could smell burning rubber and see that the tire on the SUV was flat. The firefighter then saw his pickup truck had been hit. Both vehicles had sustained minor damage, according to the court documents. Teehee, it's the guy's last name, I guess, it says, got out of the vehicle and began to stumble around, but then got back in and tried to leave by putting the SUV in reverse toward a hillside. The court documents allege Teehee then stopped and began to nod off behind the wheel. The firefighter told police the firefighter was able to get the keys from Teehee and he called the police investigator said. I was trying to get more. So, yeah, his blood alcohol level was 0.24% at the time when they took him to the hospital for testing. So September 30th and then November 22nd, he was charged with two misdemeanor counts of driving under the influence. And that's the other thing, too. I didn't realize this either. I thought that driving under the influence, like driving drunk, was like a bad deal. I thought it was a felony. I was like, boom, that's going to hurt, right, if you get caught doing that. It's not. It's still just a misdemeanor, you know. And it's like, okay, then if you want people to stop doing it, make it a felony. Make it hard, okay? A truck driver, I think that's – I'd have to look that up. I'm really not sure. But I bet you if you get caught driving drunk in a big truck, I think that is a felony. But, I mean, it's a federal law, so ain't no telling. It says, let's see, while working at the Uniontown and Washington Barracks, Teehee was recognized in 2011, 2013, 2014 for the state's DUI Top Gun Award given to each year of dozens of law enforcement officers by the Pennsylvania Driving Under the Influence Association, according to multiple newspaper reports. So, yeah, so this guy here was one of the, like, top dogs in going after drunk drivers. Yeah, he knew all the signs, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, it's like, what is it when you want to catch a criminal, go find a criminal, hire a criminal to catch a criminal? Man, oh, man, I tell you what. And that stuff right there, that stuff gets you fired up. You know, not only do we see, okay, here's a cop doing it, what's going to happen to him? Well, right now, what we can see is he's probably going to lose his job and he's going to have a misdemeanor. Other than that, what else? Is there a database that goes into? I mean, we know that cops get fired all the time for being bad cops, but they go. You know, I mean, this was the whole police reform thing under the Black Lives Matter movement and all that, is we wanted police reform, which was creating some kind of national database. You know, and I said, you know, that's probably a good idea, is to have something where, you know, the records follow each other around, where you just can't go somewhere else and get a new job. I thought that they had that, but I guess it's some documents or some agencies just don't participate in that kind of thing. I mean, truck driving, there's a database. You know, we were just talking about it, how it goes into the system where, you know, you're going to get, if you get popped for a drug test, you know, and all that, or commit a crime, it goes on your file, goes on your driving record. And then they pull your driving record as a driver. Well, if you're a cop, do they need your driving record? Do they pull your driving record? Is that something they require? Is it something like you can say, don't do that? You know, who knows? As a school teacher or a doctor, do they pull your driving record? I mean, they should. You have a DWI conviction on your driver's license, then they should know that. But I just, you know, that's one of those things. So yeah, we see cops doing it right there. Boom. You know, this was in Pennsylvania, happened back in September, and they just now had a third hearing on, what was that says? Appear Friday. Well, Friday, May 5th or May 6th. Is that what it is? Yeah, May 6th. Friday, May 6th. He was scheduled to appear, and it got postponed for a third time. You know what? You know what's really funny? Well, you know what? We'll talk about that in a minute. I was actually watching a movie today. I was kind of relaxing a little bit. It's Sunday, you know, and I knew I was going to be doing the radio show and everything. So I was like, you know what? I'll just kick back. You know, maybe had some laundry in the washer, and just cleaned the kitchen and everything like that. So I was sitting here, and I turned on a movie, and I had already started watching it, and it was like one of those where continue watching. You know how they give you all of the ones that when you pull up the apps or you pull up your different deal. It was on that Paramount Plus. I love Paramount Plus. If anybody out there wonders, but it was on Paramount Plus, and they said continue watching this movie that you've already started watching. And I'm like, you know what, let's finish watching that movie. I've seen that movie before, but I mean, it's been a long time. But it was the movie Flight with Denzel Washington. Anybody ever seen it? If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's a great movie. The guy that directed Forrest Gump directed this movie. So it's a good movie. John Goodman plays an awesome character in it. You know, he's not even like a main character, but he's in it. And it's awesome, hilarious. I laugh whenever John Goodman is being funny. He's a funny guy. But Denzel Washington on there, and basically what it was he's a drunk, okay? He's an alcoholic, and he's a drug user, but he's also an airline pilot. And for years and years and years, he just faked it, where, you know, he goes, and when he gets done for the day, he'll go tie one on, and he can barely walk. And he gets up in the morning, and in order for him to get through the day, he might have another drink. You know, he'll smoke a joint or do a line of coke or whatever, and that gets him through the day. And then when he's done for his job. He'll just keep going. And, you know, it's like a process every day. Well, one day, the plane broke. So, you know, like I said, and the plane crashed and he saved it. So, and the movie just talks about the whole aftermath of that, because what do you do to a guy that actually performed a miracle, saved a plane that couldn't be saved, and come to find out he's drunk? So what do? You know, and that this whole process of the movie, like I said, if you haven't seen it by now, you know, Denzel Washington, he's pretty freaking awesome. So, you know, I love the movie, and I watched it, and I finished watching it. And the whole process, like I said, it was like they were actually giving him the benefit of the doubt the whole time. And I'm like, just imagine if he was a truck driver. They'd never give him the benefit of the doubt. They'd never give him the benefit of the doubt if he was a truck driver. And then it's funny how I pull up, I just Google trucking news, and the top article got released on Saturday from Politico, which is what I like to see. I like to see the big deal when they get articles on these mainstream websites and all that, talking about truck driving and everything. So that struck my attention. And then as we're sitting here, you know, talking and everything, Renekanize people over there, they found another article close to where they live about the state trooper. So like I said, it all rolls together. Boom. It's crazy. It's just crazy how we know it's out there. We know it's, you know, and it's not going to stop happening. I mean, you know, people are people. You know, they're going to make mistakes. So what do we do? You know, do we stick with what we've always been doing? And if you do it, you know, you're screwed. But are they bad people? You know, I mean, it's just like drinking. You know, a lot of people don't drink, and they don't like drinking, and they don't want to be people drinking around them. You know, I knew people that were recovering alcoholics where, you know, they actually had a problem. They got sober. They, you know, went to meetings and programs and talked to people and all that. And then from then on out, they didn't want to be around it at all. They're like, no, 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 no. And other people, they're like, no, no, I'm good. You know, whatever they're doing, I don't need it, you know, and all that, you know, and everything. But it's kind of like, and you're supposed to like not do it in front of their face. You're not supposed to talk about it. You know, with these people that are recovering, you got to be sensitive to them. But I mean, are the other people bad people? You know, just because you go home for the day and you have a beer, you know, or fix yourself a drink and have a cigar, are these bad people? You know, I mean, bars make tons of money. There's tons and tons of bars and liquor stores in every major city. And now there are tons and tons of smoke shops. I remember when I first moved to Dallas, there might have been like one or two smoke shops where you might be able to get some of that paraphernalia. And it was almost like if you got like if you bought a bong at the store, buying the bong is legal. They make them. You know, they're expensive. Some of them are really fancy. You buy one, you put it in your car. On the way home, you have a car wreck, and the cop sees the bong in your car. What are they going to do? Boom, they throw the book at you. You know, it was a bad deal. That was back in the day. That was back in like the late 80s and 90s. You did not show it off. Nowadays, nobody cares. People wore T-shirts to school, you know, with the marijuana leaf. You couldn't do that back in the day. Nowadays, nobody cares. So are these people that consume it on a like, you know, mild basis where it might maybe once a month, you know, maybe during the summertime when they like we were just talking about taking a week off, taking a vacation. You know, you go down to the beach and everybody's passing out their little gummies and everybody's having a good time and you can't. You're a truck driver. You better stay away from that because they'll pop you on a test and it may be over the month down the road and you're screwed. So that's how that works out. But see, where am I at? But that's how I see it. I see it as times have changed and we need to change with the times. We need to roll with the flow. As truck drivers, you know, you want to allow people to come in, you know, being, you know, okay, I can understand all the other stuff, taking the pills and all that. I don't know if there's a certain test where the test can say you've done marijuana and you did other stuff or you've just done marijuana. I don't know how those tests work out with that. There's got to be a way to do that, to know that. But people have got to be trained. I mean, I think nowadays, used to, you could hide whether or not you were drunk or high or whatever. I think it's harder to do that these days. I think more and more people are keen on that, where they can see it or they can smell it. You know, I think more people are keen on that stuff today. So I would see that as something different, to where they would be able to see that. It's harder to cover up. Let me know what you think. And like I said, you can call in or you know, if you're on YouTube down there, you can leave a comment. We're going to put – what we do is we have these live shows, and then I record them, and then we'll put them on YouTube later on in the week. So let us know, 515-602-9731. Be sure to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And like I said, I want to thank our great sponsor, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Or go give them a call at 800-634-3010. Like I said, that's DPF Regeneration. And I appreciate all their support. All right? Let's hang tight here for Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Lots of rolling wheels and shifting gears around that Jersey turnpike. Barney stopped me with his gun 10 minutes after midnight. Said, sir, you broke the lemon in his rusty old truck. I don't know about that accent, son. Just where did you come from? I said, where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken where I come from. A lot of front porch sitting where I come from. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to heaven. I come from.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. We appreciate everybody joining in and listening along. Like I said, if you want to be part of the conversation, just hit 1. Normally, we're on Facebook Live during the week. On Sundays, though, we're just going to do audio only. We're going to slow it down, you know, kind of just chill out, talk about it, and then I still record them, and then I'll be putting them on YouTube, so that way we can get the word out better, especially if we have some good discussion. Sometimes some good ranting and raving goes a long way on YouTube. So yeah, we were just talking about a couple of things, you know, people getting high, but not truck drivers. And according to a lot of statistics and industry experts and all that, that hurts the drivers. You know, when you're looking for a shortage of drivers and you're trying to find drivers and then you're losing drivers and you can't figure out what's happening, and then you look at the stats, you're like, you know what? You know, a small percentage of them is because they're getting popped for drug tests, and then we go to hire new drivers and they can't get hired because they pop on a drug test. You know, and it's like, and that's their only fault. You know, they don't have criminal records. They don't have, you know, they can drive. They pass all the tests except for that one. And one of the things I was going to mention is that we got a lot of truck drivers out there talking about freedom. You know, we don't want no e-logs. We don't want no speed limiters. We don't need anything. We want freedom. But drug testing, no, they can test for drugs. That's fine. They can do all that. And so, well, you know, isn't that part of it? And, you know, especially when we see that a lot of people do it and have no issues with it. You know, I mean, that's one of the things. So you never know. But all right, we'll see what's going on here. I think we know who this is. What do you say? What do you say?
Hey,
I'm doing pretty good.
Another day.
Mm-hmm.
Just finished up some work on the truck today. Get ready to go to work, and I'm going to leave early in the morning and go to work for a week.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, I saw that on there. It popped up on my news feed about that Pennsylvania state cop, and I had to send that. I you know, now here's this man, you know, it's got all kind of awards and stuff, you know, for the alcohol, and now he gets popped. And they said, you know, it's a misdemeanor. You know, when they took him to the hospital and had him tested and everything, when he got tested, when he left the hospital, he should have went straight to jail. Now they got him on leave or whatever, or limited duty, which is he's working in the station now. Now, how's that? If it was anybody else, they'd be out of a job right now.
Well, no, not only that, it was like you're saying, they sent him to the hospital like right after the accident happened, and they tested him, and he was like, what was it, 0.24, which is, you know, it's only supposed to be 0.08. And then, like you're saying, they didn't actually file charges against him until November. I mean, you're talking a month and a half later.
Yeah, and they postponed it three times.
Yeah, and then
anybody else?
No. Well, you know, I was just talking about that. I don't know if you heard me earlier. I was talking about the movie I was watching with Denzel Washington, where he's an airline pilot. And, of course, they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because, you know, he's an airline pilot. Of course he's a good model citizen that doesn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But if you can imagine what happened to a truck driver, his ass would have been in jail, you know.
Well,
I mean,
the way I see it, all right, they legalized marijuana. And I'm trying to keep civil tonight. I really am. I don't want to – I'm just trying to keep my calm and composure tonight. But, you know, since they legalized marijuana – and all these states and everything, all right, they have done this. Now it's legal. I mean, your recreational marijuana and everything's legal. What about all the people that they have in jail still sitting there to this day in prison? They got caught back in the 60s, 70s, early 80s, early 90s, before it was legalized. You know, they got them in jail. They're sitting in jail doing prison sentences and everything because they got caught with it. You know, with marijuana, I'm not saying the harder stuff, you know, hey, that ain't legal yet. But now they're sitting in jail. They're still serving their term, you know, serving time because they got caught with it. But now it's legal. So everybody else out here now is able to do it legally, but they still got them locked up. Now, my opinion is once they legalized it, they should have turned every one of them out, turned them loose.
Yeah, especially if it was marijuana. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
As long as it was just marijuana. You know, wasn't nothing else but, you know, so they got caught with a bag of marijuana. So what? Turn them loose now. It's legal now. They've done their time. They served their time right up until it's legalized. Now that it's legalized, they need to let them go. You know, it makes no sense. The government wants to control everything until it's time to control them.
Yeah. It's all about control, basically what it is.
Yeah,
you know, the whole
that's
thing.
All it is.
I mean, really, the only reason why they legalize it is because they can tax it. That's one of the main.
Well, same way with alcohol.
Yeah, it's the only benefit that they want is tax. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's just like what's going on in the trucking industry right now. They don't care. it's just an ass in the seat, you know, as long as you can turn a steering wheel, you know, it's like, that's just why I just left the last job, a damn good job, and everybody knows, I just left a damn good paying job, you know, $300,000 a year job I left as an owner-operator. I left them because they started dictating to me, you know, when you can go, when you have to go to work, how long you have to stay out, you know, and then when you do go home on your home time, you got to do all your maintenance and everything on your own time on your truck or have it done or whatever. And then if you stay home longer than the allotted time that they give you, you can face termination. Now, I bought a truck, and I bought my own equipment so I could control my life. That's my company just like it's theirs. Now, when it gets to the point where they start telling me how to run my business and when I can go home, when I can't, you know what? You got a problem. You know, I'll flat out tell anybody that wants to know about it, it's Hurley Expedite out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're a damn good company. If you want to work as a team, you know, they only want teams now. They only want 2018 or newer trucks. You know, they want teams only. Yes, you will make damn good money, but you will live in that truck damn near basically all the time. You will live in that truck.
And like, you know, just what you're
saying. I'm not saying nothing about it money-wise, but... you're going to do what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you face termination. Well, when it comes to the point where, you know, as an owner-operator, they're going to tell you how to run your business. No, it's time for you to find something else, and that's what I did.
I mean, that's the whole point of being an owner-operator is being able to run your own
way.
And do what you want.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it sounds like to me they need some company drivers over there is what they need.
Well,
you know,
they had company drivers. They had, when I first started over there back 2 years ago, when I leased onto them, they had like, I think they had like 10 trucks, you know, Freightliners and, you know, them Cascadias and Volvos sitting on the fence. And I asked her, I said, what's the deal with all the trucks out there on the fence? All them company trucks. I said, well, what are they, you know, you ain't got drivers? No, hell with them drivers, she said. She said, nobody wants to work. They don't want to work. You know, the drivers don't want to work. Well, they was paying them 50 cents a mile, 50 cents a mile for every mile, loaded or empty. You know, they was paying their company driver. But, again, they was dictating their life, when they had, how long they had. They're wanting them out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, whatever. Well, for some people, that's okay. You know, some people, they like that. You know, me, I'm not doing it anymore. You know, I'm at the age right now where I don't want to do that anymore. I bought a house to live in. You know, you know, you don't want to live in a truck. You know, you ride down. The hardest part for drivers now, guys, now is when you go out and you've done it, you know, everybody's done it. You go out and you ride down the road in the summertime and you're out there and on the weekends and everything, you're out there for, you know, a week, two, three weeks at a time, 4 weeks at a time. And on the weekends, when everybody's armed, you're driving down to cities and rural district, you know, roads and stuff, and you see people out in boats out on the lake with their family having fun. You see them sitting in their yards with barbecue grills and everything. And what are you doing? You're sitting in a truck driving down the road thinking, you know, what the hell am I doing? You know, everybody's got a life. Nobody wants to spend time waiting their family constantly like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
That was my biggest problem, you know. And I said, you know, it's one of them deals where if you don't like it, then find something else to do. And that's what I did, you know. I don't sit and bitch and bellyache about it, you know. And you'll have guys that say, well, you know, you just don't want to work. Well, you know, call it for what it is. If that's the way you want to look at it, yeah, I guess I don't want to work. You know, but I'm not going to let a company control my life. They control every aspect of everything now. Now, just like the companies. Now, when they start going and telling you, well, it's like federal inspections and vehicle inspections. That's a problem I got, too. You got so many companies out there now that says, well, you need to get a federal inspection every 90 days, or you need to get a federal inspection every 120 days. You know, federal law requires one annual federal inspection. That means one a year. If they want any more than that done, if they want you to do more than one a year, then they should have to pay for them. Okay? This Hurley wasn't. You know, we was getting it. You know, I had to get one every 90 days. Never failed one. I've never failed at nothing. Anybody that knows me knows I ain't got nothing on me. But when they start dictating everything, and the companies is all doing it, You know, they're telling you, well, you can only get it done at TA or Petro, or you can only get it done here, you can only get it done there. You know, when they tell you where you have to get it done. My opinion is any place that's got that's ASE certified, that has anybody that's licensed to do federal inspections, should, I don't care if he's working behind an oak tree in his backyard. If he's licensed to do federal inspections on commercial vehicles, it should be legal as long as he's got the paperwork and fills it out properly.
Yeah.
Who are tell that man that he can't work?
Yeah, well, that's what Landstar was doing. You know, Landstar was paying for him, but then they said, well, you can only go to the TAs, you know, and all that. A lot of the Landstar drivers, you know, they're like, you know what? I think you guys might have something in with TA to where you guys are actually failing more drivers than you probably should be, you know, because to me, it's like TA, it's just work, TA's creating work. You know, I had a guy, he was doing an inspection, and of course he's looking for air leaks. Well, he can't hear nothing, which I guess that's the rule, right? Audible air leak.
Can't lose, but what is it, 3 pounds and a minute or something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
So we see the gauge. Gauge is fine, not losing any air, can't hear anything. You know what he does? He walks around to the airbags and starts squirting his little soapy bottle at the airbags. What are you doing? He's creating work for himself. That's what he's doing. Because he can tell you, I'm failing you unless you replace this.
Yeah, he's justified. He's trying to make a name for himself. You know, it's crazy. I mean, it's just like some of these companies, and Donnie, you met Donnie. Donnie, where the company he works for, I ain't going to mention no names on that, but he's another one. He can only get it done at like TA Petros or somebody's like that. Now, I get mine done at a brand-new truck dealership. At a truck dealership. A brand-new truck dealership that deals in brand-new trucks. Now, if somebody's going to be hard on a truck, it's going to be a dealership. Because they're in business, and that's what I told one company. I said, look, I don't like going to the dealerships. For one, they're in business for three things: sell parts, sell service, and sell trucks. And I don't want any three of there. I don't want any of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy their new truck. I'm not going to buy their parts unless I have to, when I can get it cheaper somewhere else. And I damn sure ain't going to pay their high dollar ass, their shop rate to get them to work on my truck when I do it myself. Well, now I take mine right down here to the international dealer, right down from my house at local here, and they do mine every 90 days, and they do it. I mean, they go over good. If there's anything wrong with it, I want to know, because, hey, I'm not perfect. I miss stuff, you know, but if I miss something, I want to know about it, and I'll fix it, and they know it. So there you go. But who are they to say, well, no, we don't want you to go to a new truck dealership. We want you to go to a TA Petro. Seriously? You're telling me that TA has better mechanics and does better work than what a dealership does? No, I'm not buying that. I'm thinking somebody's in somebody's pocket.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. You know, I brought that up when the companies were paying for testing. They were paying for the DOT tests, and then the doctor was saying, "Hey, you got sleep apnea. You got sleep apnea. You got sleep apnea. All you people have sleep apnea. Y'all got to get tested." And I'm like, "Well, who owns the company that's selling the sleep apnea equipment?" "Oh, that doctor. He owns the company. That ain't right." You know, he's benefiting.
Exactly. Well, naturally, you're going to fail it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that crap that we had to put up with, you know, and I think people just need to stop being hypocrites. You know, I mean, that's kind of what I try to catch myself when I hear it, you know, just kind of like, you know, I want to be free, then I shouldn't be standing anybody else's right to be free. You know, I mean, it's like, and I want to be able to do a job and you know, think of things logically, and I don't want to stop anybody else from doing that. But when you can just make a rule and say, well, that's my rule. You know, I mean, that's kind of why we're doing our own truck show, isn't it? Because we're like, you know what? I don't like your rules. I'm gonna go do my own thing.
Well, we not told if you don't like our undo, you know, or try to do. No, another thing is, said, well, you know, over the speed limiters, you know, and all this nonsense that's going on with that to change gears here a minute. and just said, well, Greg, it sounds to me like you're in favor of the speed limiters. Well, it might have made it sound like that, and actually, I guess I did, but it's like, okay, here's the deal. Nobody wants to stand up. Nobody wants to say anything. Everybody's worried about their freedoms and everything else. Well, every time, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm not going to get irate about it like I do, but, you know, OIDA has been fighting for years, and about the split speed limits and getting the same speed limits up as cars, and the years and years and years it took them to get this speed limit up to 70 mile an hour again. All right, they got it up there. Now they're wanting to put it back down to 68 or 65 or whatever they decide on doing.
Yeah.
And everybody says, "Wow, they ain't gonna speed limit me. They're not going to tell me they're not going to do this." Well, they also told everybody that they was going to get rid of radar detectors too, and nobody, I ain't getting rid of mine. Well, they did it, didn't they? Well,
they
okay,
did.
Then they start. Okay, so it goes right back to the same thing as you know. I hope, you know, and as an owner, I bring my truck. Yeah, it runs wide open. I mean, it'll run. It'll run over 100 mile an hour, and I'm not bragging, but it will. But I'll guarantee you one thing: you can plug it up to a computer any day of the week, and you'll never find anywhere on there where it's run over that. Never, never. I've never done it.
Right.
Most of the time, 90% of the time, I run 60, somewhere between 63 and 65 mile an hour, and that's it. All last week, I never was over 70 mile an hour at any given time. All right, because it's just not, it's nonsense. Now, you see these guys out here, like I said last night, with these big Peterbilt, Freightliners, you know, big shiny trucks and lights and chrome and stainless all over them, and that's all good. They're pretty. They're proud of their trucks. Yeah, I am mine, too, for what it is. It's an old truck, but, yeah, I'm proud of it because, hey, it's mine. It's paid for, whatever. But they're running like that, and you see them same guys running 70, 75, 80 mile an hour and come right up on a car's bumper in the left lane, trying to push them, flashing their lights, trying to push them down the road in the left lane to get out of their way. Now, if that car, one incident, and they own that car, they kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right?
Yeah, that's,
now,
okay.
that being said, and they're the ones that wants to scream and holler about how they're being picked on all the time.
Well, yeah, and that's,
you know,
that's kind of what I was getting at is I thought, you know, the way it went is that, you know, yeah, you don't drive fast. They're going to put limiters because it's really because people just take advantage of that freedom that they're given that they can drive 80 miles an hour. It's like
well,
a
it's
responsibility.
Not,
you can drive 80, but you don't
gonna,
need to be driving crazy 80.
Yeah, it's not going to solve anything, you know, because – you know, so they govern the trucks at 68 mile an hour. But, okay, so now the time that they lose driving down the road 68, you got everybody's going to be running that speed now. So now everybody's going to be, it's going to be like NASCAR, where they, you know, everybody,
it's boring.
Everybody's running the same speed, you know. Everybody it ain't going to work, man. It just ain't going to work. And then, all right, so they only run 68. They're governed at 68 mile an hour. But they're going to start trying to run faster 68 mile an hour through town, through school zones. You know, they're running 30 mile an hour in the parking lots.
We see those company drivers do that all the time. The company trucks that run 65, you know, I mean, I can tell you guilty as charged. As long as the speed limit is 65, I'm doing 65. You know, and if the speed limit drops below 60 or drops down to 60, I'm, you know, where everybody else is doing 65, I'm still doing 65. So but the problem is, like you're saying, I'm so used to it that I have to like look at traffic and say, you know what, I need to shut the crews off. I need to, because everybody's kind of running a little slower. You know, the roads are looking good, everything's fine, but traffic is not moving at this speed. I need to slow down. And that's what we, you know, those companies, and just like you're talking about, the company trucks that run 65, they don't look for speed limit signs because they've never had to worry about it. And then next thing you know, boom, school zone, you know, or next thing you know, the construction zone, you know, and it's, but they don't shut anything off. You know, I see that all the time.
Everybody takes,
where,
everybody picks on the company trucks, you know, the mega carriers and stuff, you know, because of the way they drive and everything. But you know what? I see more owner operators with bull racks and reapers and flatbeds and you name it. The list goes on and on. How many times have you been sitting in a truck stop somewhere at night, late at night, or wee hours in the morning, you know, sleeping or just pull in there and just get ready to go, and here comes one through the parking lot with his Jake brake
on? Oh, yeah.
And it's always a big, fancy, shiny truck that wants to do it. It might not be his truck. He might be driving it for somebody, but that reflects on his boss or the company or whatever.
Yeah, he's coming in there. He's got his jigs blaring. He's going about 40 miles an hour through the parking lot.
Yep. Or jaking every gear on the way out of the parking lot, trying to wake everybody. Or blowing the horn, blowing the air horns, train horns and stuff. I see it all the time. But you know what I can honestly say? I can try to count on one hand number of company trucks, the mega carriers and stuff, the company trucks that I've seen doing that. They got nothing to show off with, so they drive, other than a little too fast in the parking lots, they drive like they got sense. The owner operator, the guys with these big shiny trucks is the ones that act a fool because they're trying to, I don't know who they're trying to impress, but it damn sure ain't me.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to impress me, if you can't get out of your own way out on the road, but you play hell in a school zone, you know, I mean, that's not the way to go. That's not.
Yeah.
And then you want respect, you know, and then you want to talk about rules and how they're picking on you. No, you're doing it to yourself. So as far as the speed limiters, yes, I would love to see them put that speed limiters on. Myself, I would love to see them govern all these trucks at say 68 or 70 mile an hour, because it goes back to what we was talking about before, the speed rating on all the tires. As soon as they get over the speed rating on them tires, now they're running illegal because that tire is not rated for that kind of speed.
Yep.
So if that tire blows out and you kill somebody, you're going to prison. Well, it ain't my fault the tire blew out. Well, no, maybe not, but yes, it is, because it done told you. It done told you. It tells you right there that tire is not capable of running. It's not. You know, you're not. You're overrunning the speed that tire is rated for. You know, that's like putting a Walmart tire, you know, a cheap tire you get at Walmart on a Ferrari and going out here and running 200 mile an hour on it. It's going to blow. Because the tires ain't speed rated for that kind of speed. So, yes, I'd like to see them put the speed limiters on there. For the main reason, I'd like to see these guys just how big their balls are. Because everybody says, well, I ain't running my truck. They ain't putting the speed limiter on mine. You know, they said they wasn't taking their radar detectors, too. They said they wasn't putting e-logs in their trucks, too. I remember years ago when they said when the electronic engines come out, the ECMs and stuff, I ain't no way I'm driving a damn electronic control truck. Ain't no way. Well, you know what? Damn near everybody's got them now. So everything that they said they wasn't going to do, they did. And when the speed limiters comes out, they're going to hook that speed limiter up to, they're going to turn that truck down, and they're going to run the same as everybody else. Because the first couple times they get caught speeding over that, and they plug into it, or they take it and have it checked or whatever, which they don't have to. If that cop clocks them at 80 mile an hour, they know there's no speed limiter on there. So now you're going to court. Now, why was that truck running 80 mile an hour? You know the law, that speed limiter is supposed to be set at 68 mile an hour. So now what are you going to do? I want to see just how many of them does it. I just want to see. I would love to see it happen. Because there's a lot of these cowboys that need to be slowed down. You know, there's too much traffic anymore and everything to be out there driving like that. I'm sorry. You know, years ago, it was fun, yeah, but you didn't have the traffic you got now. The laws wasn't like they got now. Now you can't go 5 miles without a billboard saying, hey, if you get an accident with a big rig, call us. We recoup millions. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Call the hammer. In Indiana, all times be of time. Call the hammer. Uh-huh. He going to hammer you, all right. But let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, they all got it now. They all do it.
All right.
Every city and state.
Yes. Every city you go through, every state you go through, they got attorney billboards, and they love that. thrive on it, you know, because every time there's an accident, the company just pays it off. They eat the bill, they pay it off, and the driver eats it in points and CSA points and everything, but and the car, it don't matter. It don't matter if it's their fault, your fault, whose fault it is. You're going to be on blame for it. Why? Now, it used to be every time a truck and a car get in an accident, the first thing, and I know, anytime something happens, the first thing that cop wants when he walks up, I need your driver's license, truck and trailer registration, and your logbook. First things that they ask for. Then when the cell phones come out, then the next thing happened, and then the attorney, the people got an attorney, and the attorney come back, and then he started subpoenaing your cell phone records. And if they could determine that you was on the cell phone or sending a text message or something when that accident occurred, guess what? You're at fault. No matter whose fault it was, you was the one that ate it because you shouldn't have been on the phone. All right? So now, why don't these companies, why ain't they turning the tables on them? Because you go down the road at night and drive the speed limit and watch every car that goes by you, and 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, has got the cell phone lit up. They've either got it in their hand, sending a text, or they're talking on their cell phone, holding it up to their head, talking on it. Cars, mm-hmm. Cars, as well as trucks. All right, the trucks are just as bad, but the cars are just as bad or worse. So now when there's an accident now with a car and a truck, why ain't these companies taking their attorneys and saying, okay, we want to subpoena that car's cell phone records, and if they was on the cell phone or they was sending a text, then I want to know why. Why? If they hadn't have been texting or wouldn't have been talking on the phone, maybe they wouldn't have hit our truck. It worked for us. What? Why not turn it around and put it on them?
Exactly.
How many cops yep. have you seen pass you on the left? You'd be in the middle lane, pass somebody, a cop pass you on the left, no turn signal, no nothing. He passing you 5, 10 miles, 15 mile an hour over the speed limit. Dive across 3 lanes of traffic and go down an exit ramp. Or pass you 80 mile an hour, go down the road 2 miles and turn into a median strip, into a crossing in the median strip, and turn his lights out and sit there and pull in there and talk to his buddy. See it all the time. Nothing said about it. So, yeah,
crazy.
I'd like to see him put speed limiters on. I'd like to see everybody say, well, they do that, I quit. I'm done. I'm done driving. So they do that. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to say it's my time out.
When they put the e-logs and all that stuff, when they said about the e-logs, you're right. I agree with that.
Exactly my point. So I would like to see them get these speed limiters on there. I would, because I'd like to see how many of them stays and how many of them goes. Because I guarantee you, ain't nobody going to quit. They're going to talk shit just like they've been talking for the last, I know the last 40 years, 30-some years, 40 years I've been out here. They're going to talk just like now. Every year, we're going to shut these trucks down. We're going to go on strike, and we're going to have this, and we're going to do that. There ain't nobody doing nothing. All I hear is blah, 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 blah. They ain't solving a thing.
The same truckers that were – the same truckers that are complaining about speed limiters are the same ones that were laughing at the people's convoy. You know, they were laughing at them. Saying, look at those morons.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So, yeah. Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, they can agree to disagree with whatever they want to do, but, you know – the truth is there. I mean, but get your fact checkers out there and fact check it all you want to, because that's the way it is. It's been like that every year, and a year goes by that they don't call for a truck strike or a shutdown or a slow roll or whatever the hell they want to call it, or whatever particular year, nothing gets done. You know, nothing gets done. You know, there's just like all of them when they was wanting these e-logs and stuff. They wanted mandatory e-logs. All right? All these big mega fleets and union companies, they wanted them. Oh, yeah, we got to have them so we can level the playing field. Well, now they come out with the e-logs. The e-log mandate never even fully got – it never fully got mandated that everybody had to have them. And you had, like, what is it? UPS and Yellow Freight, you know, whoever knows, who God only knows how many. Then you had the cattle haulers and stuff, you know, livestock haulers. The first ones that wanted to start crying, they need an exemption. We need an exemption for it. We need to you know, be exempt from the hours of service. Well, why? Well, because we can't do our job with that ELOG because we can't. We don't have the hours to do it. We got to take the cattle hauler. Well, we got to keep them moving. We can't just stop and take a break, you know, because we got them the cattle or that them animals in the truck. Well, wait a minute. I've said it before. Reapers and stuff and drivers have been doing it for years, coast to coast. They start out. They couldn't, when they got to where they couldn't run solo and couldn't do their thing, they started running teams. Guys in a truck, one sleeping, one driving, one the other one driving, the other one sleeping. They did it. They can team reapers. They can team every other truck. Why can't they team them cattle trucks? These trucks hauling these animals and stuff. So what? Stop the feed lot, feed them, water them, do whatever you got to do, put them back in there, get going. Whatever you got to do, do it. But put two guys in that truck don't have to stop. If your job is that critical that stuff has to keep moving, put two people in the truck and go. Two people in the truck and go. Or relay it. If your company's that big and you're making so much money, relay it. Bring them so far apart. They got dolly legs on them. Dolly them down, put another truck in underneath them and take off again.
Shoot, Swift wasn't even doing that back in the day. Swift was just swapping trucks. Like, get out of that truck and get another truck and just go.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
You know, they go with freight now. And freight companies carried their CBs and their radios and stuff in that little box sitting in the seat. Exactly. All they had was an overnight bag and they had their radio and stuff.
Yep.
They jump out of the seat, they slip seat and everything. They go somewhere and meet somebody at a truck stop, grab your shit, throw it in one truck. He throws this stuff in your truck, and you just take off and go separate ways again. There's no reason for it, you know. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's just a dog and pony show. That's all it is. It's okay for thee, but not for me. And it ain't gonna work like that. It's either everybody or nothing. It's just like every time there's a national disaster, a hurricane, tornado, flood, whatever. Ours, we're you know, accepting the hours of service. You can just forget about it. Just go. Well, how is it safer to do it when there's a natural disaster? If you can do it then, you can do it off every time of the year.
It
makes it safer. It's safer. No, it ain't working for me.
Well, that's what we tell drivers all the time. Don't do that. Don't give in to what they're doing. They're telling you to do that because that way they're not going to be held responsible. You know,
right.
And they're telling you you're not going to be, but you're still the driver. You're responsible.
That's exactly right.
Yep. So that's what we're. I guess,
government,
you know what,
the
I got
government,
another, no, I was going to say was as I got more. I got more for you. I got a government article here. I was going to talk about. I was going to tell everybody about our sponsor, and that was Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. And then we can dive into this other stuff here. But
all right.
Yep. And I was going to make sure everybody understood. Go over to our show, our website, redneckandeyes.com. You get the links to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. But go to truckertools.com. Download the app for the Trucker Tools. They're a great sponsor of Redneck and Eyes. There's one where you do load tracking, and you can find out the you know, they do the parking and fuel stops and truck stops, maintenance facilities, all that good stuff. So you can check that out, Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. We appreciate all their support. So, yeah, hang tight here. We're going to jump on this here and get another article going here, and we're going to talk about it more. So here we go, Redneck and Eyes Radio. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're back here. We're live every Sunday, or we're live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we got a special. We do a special now. We're gonna call it a Sunday special show, 2-hour event where we slow it down. We kind of talk. Get a little bit more elaborate on what's going on, and talk about things. And we're just having a lot of fun doing it. You can check that out. 515-602-9731 is the call-in number. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And then also check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. You can go load track, you can book freight, track freight, and they do the thing where you can go find parking, you can find truck stops, fuel stops, maintenance facilities. They even got a little special little search there for Walmart. You can go find the Walmart you need closest to you. So we were talking about, you know, doing everything like freedom of the open road and trucking, just dealing with trucking issues. And one of the things that I thought we always dove in here, and Greg will agree with me, is all of this predatory leasing where people are getting into these lease purchases. And so here's an article in CDLLife.com. It says the FMCSA extends the deadline Tory lease purchase task force applicants. So, hey, I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to send a thing on. What do you think, Greg? You become a task force member.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it says here, it says, if you're interested in applying for the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's Truck Lease Task Force, you got a little more time to apply. The FMC is now accepting applications by May 13th, 2022. Their previous deadline was May 6th. It says they asked to evaluate the impacts of commercial lease purchase agreements and discuss the best practices for future agreements. And then it's got it down here. It's got the list of exploring predatory truck leasing agreements in coordination with DOL and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, evaluating common truck lease agreements and their terms, identifying and reviewing those that are potentially inequitable. Oh, there you go. Inequitable in the motor carrier industry, reviewing agreements available to drayage drivers at ports, examining truck leasing agreements and financing agreements among motor carriers, entry-level drivers, driver training providers, and other involved in the industry, assessing resources that assist CMV drivers in reviewing the financial impacts of leasing agreements. All this long jargon crap just really pisses me off because this is all they're going to do. Nothing's going to come of this. I think I'm going to apply just because I'm going to tell them. Nothing's going to come of this. So I click on the deal here that where you can go apply. And, of course, you do it by email and you submit a resume and all this. But, of course, it is members serve without pay and are chosen from a field of qualified candidates for a two-year term. This is an all-electronic application process. FMCSA encourages diverse, non-traditional representatives, especially women and people of color, to apply to serve on the task force. Oh, that cuts me out. So
I've been a little bit racist, ain't it?
Well, that's a government website that I read that from.
Yeah,
right there.
Of course.
Yes.
What I liked was the part where it said you're basically working for free.
Well, we're doing
that, driving truck. Ain't that what started all this? Because we're damn near working for nothing now.
Yeah. So that's the other thing too. You tell them, hey, you go get any lease purchase operator right now to get on that task force because I guarantee you he ain't making a paycheck.
That's right. You want to know who the shoddy ass. You know, lease purchase, you know, violators are, we'll go pick out any company in this country that's got trucks that does lease purchase, and you'll find out. They're all shady. They're all crooked, and they're all taking advantage of these guys.
Yeah.
I'll say 98% of them are.
Yeah, well, that's what I say is, like, the majority of the contracts in lease purchases are written to benefit the carrier or whoever's leasing the truck. You know, the lessee.
Exactly.
The lessee has no rights when it comes to leasing. There's no, like, you know, they tell you, go read it. Ain't nobody going to read that. And if you do read it, it was just like these little, you know, lists of things they're looking to look at. It's all written in all these, you know, I don't know, it's a doublespeak. You know, it's kind of like
Nancy Pelosi said, you have to sign it to see what's in it.
You know? I mean, they all give them to you. They'll give it to you, and you go read it. And I guarantee you, it'll sound like it. Yeah, you know, that sounds fair. That sounds fair. No, it's all to them, you know, and it's all of that.
If
what is
anybody,
it called? Arbitration and all that. Yeah.
Anybody that does a lease purchase deal, when they go in there before, and I've said it, and before you go to a lease purchase before anybody signs in onto a lease purchase agreement, They need to tell them, I need a copy of your lease. You know, I need a copy of your lease and contract, whatever, and take it to an attorney that deals in trucking, and have their attorney, yes, you're going to have to pay him to do it, but have him to look over that contract and over that lease agreement on that, and then let him tell you what his thoughts are on it. Is it a good deal or isn't it a good deal? And I'll bet 90% of them attorneys that's going to tell you, hey, you know, you better turn around and run now. Don't do
well,
it. Because there ain't nothing in there that's going to benefit you, but nobody does it. They just sign it, and, hey, I'm a big-time owner-operator. Yeah,
and
okay.
I think what the biggest problem is a lot of lawyers look at it as, like, it's a standard thing. Like, it's common that all of the way it's written, and the way it's written is, as long as you work and make money, everything's fine, okay? what happens is when something happens and you got to have some kind of, like, you know, let's say that the truck breaks down. Well, a lot of times they'll tell you, well, you know, we're taking so much money and putting it in a maintenance account, you don't have to pay and all that, which is all fine and dandy until you're told you can't take it to any shop you want. You got to take it to whatever shop, you know, in order for us to pay for it, you have to take it to a certain shop and you got to have the work done a certain way. So it's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm going to get my oils changed. I got to pay for the oil changes. Because that's in the contract that I got to pay for the oil changes, so I'm going to go and you know I'm an old mechanic, you know, my father owned a shop and all that. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to go change it myself. Next thing you know, they're saying you can't do that. You can't do that. And then you say, well, then I'm going to go take it over here to, you know, my cousin that's got his own diesel mechanic shop. Have him do it. Nope. A lot of them say that they want you to take it to either TA or Speedco or whatever. They don't even want
exactly.
It, you know, or a dealership. Yeah. And then that's the other thing. Everybody says this too about new trucks. You know, it's under warranty. It's not if something breaks, it's not going to cost me anything to get fixed. Oh yeah, okay, go ahead. You take it to Freightliner right now, and you go tell them you got a problem, and you go and you get them to tell you when it'll be looked at.
Well, they'll tell you. Oh no, that's not under warranty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not under warranty.
Everything's supposed to be under warranty. Do you get it in there? And say, well, that's not covered under warranty.
Yeah, yeah. Or, and a lot of times, it's not even a, you know, you might look it up and say, well, that part should be covered under warranty. And then you get there and go, well, not your warranty.
yeah, not your warranty.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, and then we can fix that. We just can't fix it till next Tuesday.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do because I don't want it. I want things to continue to be free and I want people to be, but I think the deal is, I think that the government, if they look into this task force and all that, they're going to have to probably put limits on it. They're going to have to do it if they want, they're not going to, we know that, but if they want to make it better, they're going to have to put limits on it. And my limits, I think that, going to have to be the IRS thing is they're going to have to make a rule that says if you are lease purchase, you're not an owner operator. That's what they're going to have to list it.
Right.
Because you want to stop lease purchase, then change that rule that says if you're a lease purchase, you are not an owner operator. You still have to get paid by W-2 or whatever the rule.
Until that truck's paid off.
Until that truck's paid off. You cannot get a 1099 until that truck's paid off. You watch.
Right.
Lease purchases go away. That is the only reason why they do lease purchases is because they want you to become an owner-operator so they don't have to pay that 7.5%, half of your Social Security, the employees.
That's right. They're getting these trucks paid for. You're paying it. You're working. They're getting free labor to pay that truck off, and you're never, you know, the majority of them is not going to pay. They're never going to pay them trucks off because I see a lot of them out here that does them lease purchases, and in 3 years, you know, every 3 years or 3 years down the road, it don't matter if their payments is up or what. They don't have that option to keep that truck every 3 years. Well, that truck's getting old. It's getting too many miles off. We're going to trade that truck off, and we're going to put you in a new one.
Yeah,
and everybody said,
another,
"Wow, you know, hey, we know somebody that was like that."
Well, let's just say the company that we know it does that every year. That's Prime. Prime does that. You cannot own your truck outright at Prime. I don't know anybody in Prime. If anybody can correct that, you tell me. I've never ever met a driver that has bought a truck from Prime, took it somewhere else, and paid it off. I never never known any driver at Prime. In fact, you know, becoming an owner operator to me, I remember when I first became an owner operator, the main reason why you did it is because you had an awesome truck. You got the best truck. That truck was for an owner operator. That truck was, you know, it had a bigger sleeper. It had more bells and whistles. It had more gauges where you can actually like know the temperature of your differential, all that good stuff like that. It had the bigger radio. It had the, you know, everything about it was better. So that truck was better. Well, at Prime, they talk you into lease purchasing one of their little trucks where it's the little snub nose Freightliners where they can actually haul heavier freight and it be a lighter truck with a smaller sleeper. You know, it's like I'm an owner-operator. Well, that don't look like an owner-operator truck. Looks like a company truck. That's the other thing, too. You know, just because you are an owner-operator, well, that truck looks exactly like all the other trucks that work for that company. How is that? You know? And
right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that biggest thing, like you saying, you know, hey, it's been 3 years. You've made payments on that truck. Now it's time to turn it in. You're going to have to get another truck. Because we require trucks to be 3 years or newer, you know, and all that. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, somebody might correct me on this, but, you know, I'm thinking that the first company that started the lease purchase agreements. Do you know who it was?
I don't.
I'm thinking it was North American Van Lines way back. It was either North American or National Freight.
Well, North American North American, is that the bed bugs you're talking about? Is that
North American Van Lines? Yeah, the furniture. Yeah, I think they was. I'm thinking that they was one of the first ones to start the lease purchase deals. Them and NFI, National Freight.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, I could be. Somebody could make it, but prove me wrong. But I'm thinking that that's where it started. I mean, that was back when I started. You know, I mean, hadn't been driving too. But I'm thinking that they're the ones that started it because they had a lot of problems when they first started. Same thing. You know, they was making it out to be something, and them guys was mad all the time because they was out there and you talk to them. Say, oh, I didn't make anything. Time I paid my truck payment this week and. You know, this month, whatever, I didn't have nothing. I owe the company. Well, yeah. There's a lot of them out there that does that. By the time you get done, if you end up owing the company at the end of the week, then, you know, there's something wrong. Something bad wrong. I know there's owner-operators out here right now that's running their own trucks that's paid for that damn near has to pay the company at the end of the week if they don't watch what they're doing.
No, most of them are do that anyway, and then most of them, some of them don't even care. You know, I mean, that's the way we've gotten is that you can be a bum and still be a truck driver.
Right.
You know,
well, it's like these guys lease purchase these trucks, and then they go out and start running, and then they pull out, they give them cash advances.
Right.
Yeah, they'll give them all the cash advances they want to live on the road, but at the end of the week, they don't realize that's not free money. You know, they give them a cash advance through the week, you know, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300, whatever they get at the end of the week, they're taking that out as well as their truck payment. They're taking their cash advance out and everything else out. And then the next thing you know, if they're married or now they're in divorce court and everything, and they don't understand why. Well, the company's going to take their money. Whether you make anything or not, the company's getting their money. They're getting their money before you get any. The company don't care about you. They care about them. That's why they're in business to make money. They're not. They're. It's like a casino. Everybody goes to a casino thinking they're going to get rich. They're crazy. That casino ain't in business to make you rich to give you money. Yeah, every once in a while they'll have let somebody hit it. They have to, you know, to keep people coming in. They have to let somebody win once in a while. But for the most part, that casino ain't in business. To give money, to pay off. They're in business to make money. Same way in the trucking industry.
Yep. Yep. I agree. Yeah, and the other thing, I think we were talking about it before, and of course this was years ago. Now with the trucks being so expensive, I don't even know. I mean, I bet right now if you went in to look at getting a lease purchase, you're not going to get a new truck because there's no new trucks. You know, so, but back in the day, I remember trucks were, you know, right just under $100,000, a good brand new, you know, Freightliner condo decked out was probably right at $110,000. And these big companies like Swift and Schneider and JB and all that, of course, they're buying them for like $60,000-$70,000 because they got a buying power. They can buy them like that, right? I mean, we knew
the
that.
The next time we're on the show, I'll have to dig through the file down there, and I can get my build sheet off of my truck. Now, mine's that 98 Freightliner Classic of mine. Now, it's it was all owner-operator spec. I mean, it's had all the bells and the whistles. Had all bells and whistles for that year, for 98. Anything you could get, it had.
Right.
Now, when Rich bought that truck brand new, because I'm the second owner of it, and it was a good family friend that bought it brand new, and he had it until he retired at 70. He's dead now, you know, but I've still got, when I got it off of him, like I said, I stole it. $10,000 I paid him for it back, you know, and I've had it 6 years, and the truck's been good to me, real good to me. It blew up, and I had to rebuild it. Well, it wasn't the truck's fault. It had $1.4 million on it when it blew up. So either way, but I've still got the build sheet on it, and when next time I'm thinking, don't quote me on it, but I'm thinking that truck was $80,000 brand new, it was under 100,000, way under 100,000, brand new in 98. So I'll have to dig it up, and I can tell you exactly what it is, and you can tell me just what justifies the price of these trucks. You know, the freight rates has went down, fuels went way up, the rates has come down, the brokers are a bunch of jackasses, they're taking advantage of everybody, and everybody wants to scream and holler, but it's not the brokers. The brokers is making money. They're in it to make money. We're the stupid ones. Well, not me, but, I mean, if you're stupid enough to go out there and haul that cheap-ass shit for them, then you deserve exactly what you get.
Right.
You know, if you don't tell them no, well, if I don't haul it, somebody will. Well, let somebody do it. But that person there, let them go out of business. Why should you do it? You know, I'll find my bill sheet. I can tell you exactly what it costs. Now, you tell me. Now these trucks is running $180,000 now. There ain't nothing changed. They've just put a bunch more electronics and a bunch more bullshit on them, and they're broke down constantly. They're constantly having trouble with them. Now, tell me, I'm getting 6.8, 7, 7.2, 7.5 miles a gallon by me acting sensible, driving it sensible, and these new trucks out here with this after treatment, everything's supposed to be getting all this tremendous fuel mileage, and they're not. I mean, there's a few out there that is, but for the most part, they're getting worse. They're getting worse fuel mileage. I don't know. It don't make any sense to me.
No, that's like I said, that'd be a good topic for next time. But I everybody's blaming everything else. You know, it's like inflation, and then it's like supply chain, and they say supply chain affects inflation. Well, inflation affects supply chain. I said, well, which is it? You know, if you went to Harvard, you ought to be able to explain this, but you can't. You can't explain it. You don't know. If you don't know, don't say. You know, just don't make anything up. You know, just
why would
just
somebody
say
ask Joe Biden what the rates was when he was driving?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he claims he drove truck all his time. What was the rates like when you was driving truck, Joe? Dumb bastard. You know, we didn't. They're blaming everything on the trucking industry and the supply chain and the oil companies. And everything. How come we never had none of this problem? This was a striving, thriving country. Even the trucking is. We had it going on. Everybody was happy. Everybody was making good money until this jackass come into office.
Exactly.
As soon as he got into office, it wasn't 3 days into his damn administration. You know, 3 days into his term, and the whole country turned upside down. No, how hard is it to figure that out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they said it. They said he was, you know, all he had to do was stay out of the way, and because of the pandemic, the recovery thing was just going to go great. It was just easy. All you had to do is get out of the way.
Yep.
And he couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. So
nope.
So we'll
all
see.
They had to do was step back. Everything, let everything control itself.
Yeah.
If he'd
have
left what Trump had in place, if he'd have just left it, if he would have left everything alone and let it went ahead and just run smooth out, even though the lying bastards cheated, you know, on it, and we all know that, regardless, anybody can, they can, if they say they didn't, they're full of shit, but whatever. If they would have just left it alone, he actually might have been able to run a second term. He could have run on Trump's deal, and he might have got elected again the second term. But he wanted to dick around and with the squad and all these green asshole, and look what he's done now. He's got the whole country on him. He's got Democrats that voted for him is already hating him. You know, they're turning against him. So we'll see. We'll see. We got a few more months. We'll see. In November, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Because if we take the House and send it back in November, they're going to be, whew, they're going to be all kind of hell to pay.
Yep. That's, well, you know, it's just, it's going to be funny because they're going to just stand up and say, what about your racists? That's all they're going to say.
Yep. Yep.
That's all they got.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course, and they're the ones that are looking for applicants for, you know, especially, you know, diverse representatives, especially women and people of color. So, you know, that's what they're looking for.
They're looking for women and people of color to work for free.
Yeah, to work for free. Yeah. I say, you know, if you want to hire those kind of people, maybe you should pay them something. And they would be, you know, maybe there's nobody applying because it's not paying anything.
Do you remember back in the 80s and early 90s when all these temp services was the big deal? You go and you couldn't find a job. You go to a temp service and they put you in, it is temporary, and you put you into these mills and these factories and stuff. And you go in there as a temporary, and they was paying you half of what minimum wage for something that these guys was getting, you know, $10, $12, $15 an hour. At that time,
yeah.
You know, for a machinist or something, and they put these temporaries in there to rake parts or stack parts or do whatever, and they was paying them what, $3.35 or $4 an hour, and then they'd tell them, well, you know, if you're in here, you're on probation for 90 days. If you do real good, you stay with it, and you work every day, and don't call off, and don't do none in 90 days. There's a good chance that they'll hire you in as full time, and then you'll be an employee of theirs. Yeah. Uh-huh. 90 days. Yeah.
90 days.
You go about 80, yeah, go about 85 or 86 days, just under your 90 days, and they lay you off, say, well, we don't need you no more. You know?
Yeah.
And the next day they call that same temp service, say, hey, you want to send somebody else over? We need another employee over here. Yeah, they ain't going to hire nobody because they're getting you, what are they going to pay you $10, $12 an hour for when they can get somebody for, you know, five or six. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. We're going to get next time, though.
I worked in a metal stamping shop up in Cleveland for a while, you know, back then, and I was permanent. I was a full-time employee up there. I was a machinist and die setter up there at a stamping plant, and I watched them do that all the time. I'd see guys coming in there at that time, I was in my early, late teens, early 20s when I was working up there high school. And I'd see them do that all the time. I'd see guys coming in there in their 40s and 50 years old coming in there with hopes that they'd be, you know, in 90 days, they'd be a full-time employee. And I started finally, as young as I was, I seen the writing on the wall. Then I said, you guys get the hell out of here. I said, you might as well not even come back because I said, they're going to work you right up until just before your 90 days because if they let you go 90 days, they have to hire you as a full-time employee. I said, they're not going to do it. I said, 80-some days into it, I said, they're going to say, well, you know, that job's done now. We don't need the help. We don't need the temporary service now, so we're going to have to let you go.
Well, just like now with the full-time, you know, if you hire somebody that's full-time, you have to pay them benefits. Well, we're just going to hire part-time people. That way we don't have to pay benefits. That's
right.
What they do
they'll
now.
They'll work them.
Yeah,
you got to work them full.
Yep.
The hours ain't benefits. But if they work you 35 or 36 hours a week, they don't have to pay you benefits. They don't have to hire you full-time. You're considered part-time work.
Yep.
And how stupid are people that they believe this and they take it, think, wow, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know, Ted.
I think that's what I like about our show here, and that's what I like about everything going on, is that it's you know, the politicians are not going to help you. They're going to create these rules. The companies are just figuring out ways to around the rule, you know, so it's not going to save anything. You know, it's either going to be made illegal or legal. You can't have like, well, it's only if you abide by this. So, yeah, it's one of those things. So yeah, it's going to happen. You know, we'll see how it happens in there, and we'll get it. Like I said, that's what we do. We keep on going with this thing. We're gonna keep talking about it, because that's what Redneck and I does, is we just talk about stuff like that. So cool.
Exactly.
Yep. But I think we're all done here. What do you think?
Yep. It's been a good show.
Good deal. I'm enjoying it.
We tried to solve all the world's problems. I don't know if we did it or not, but we're working on it.
Man,
they listen
to truck drivers. They could solve some problems. We know everything.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yep, good deal. All right, well, I'm going to get on out of here. I think the sun has not gone down all the way, so I might get a little ride in before the sun gets all the way down.
All right, well, good for you, because it's darker than hell up here right now. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, good deal. Appreciate it. Right, well, everybody, thanks for having a great show tonight. Like I said, we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in 515-602-9731. And to be part of the conversation, just hit one. We're on YouTube, so go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, go check out redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget one of our great sponsors. Well, you know what? We'll just mention them all at the end of the show here. It's DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com. The Trucker Tools, download Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com. And also LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation there at ltrtransportation.com. And you go check those great sponsors of ours out. We appreciate all their support. So, like I said, we'll be back. Let's say this is Sunday. We had a good two-hour show. It's audio only. Call in 515-602-9731. Push 1 to be part of the conversation. We'll be on Facebook Live tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the same number to call in, but we'll be on Facebook Live as well. And we're going to do every day. So every weekday, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. One of our great special shows we have on Wednesdays is Women of Redneck and Eyes, and that's at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. And the same number, 515-602-9731. So go check out the website, redneckandeyes.com. Subscribe to YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that, supporting Redneck and Eyes. So until next time, y'all, be safe, be successful, and keep between the ditches. We'll see you out there on the road.